Good afternoon, everyone. Eric Perez here, CEO of Queensland Seafood Industry Association, welcoming you to a third in a series of podcasts around the introduction of VMS and the fisheries reform process. Joining me this afternoon is Tony Riesenweber. How are you, Tony?
Not too bad, Eric.
Tony, for the sake of the listeners, you wear a couple of hats. You're a director on an association, our association, the Queensland Seafood Industry Association, and you're an active commercial fisher.
That's correct.
Okay, so your primary fishery is the crab fishery?
The mud crab fishery.
Okay. Like I've asked Lionel and Gary, can you give me a sense of where you think VMS is at since the 1st of January?
In my opinion, it's an actual failure. When they did the reform, we went to meetings and they said to us we couldn't go to work unless the VMS sent us a text message. We fitted everything on the 31st of December. We didn't get the first, or I didn't get the first text message until the afternoon of the 2nd, after fisheries went back to work. Then on the 3rd, I got a text message, again in the morning, 2.5 hours after I actually left the boat ramp. If you go back on the 1st, fisheries pulled me up at the boat ramp and said, have you got a VMS? I said, yes, I've got the VMS. They checked the green light. It was paling, but they couldn't see it. Now, if I went by their instructions, I couldn't go to work. Now, what person does not go to work and make money? I find it ludicrous that the government brings out these rules without a care for the worker. And this was brought up at several meetings when the VMS has come into it. What fisheries have done is failed, in my belief, their duty of care of introducing something to the fishermen.
Okay, so when you say they failed the duty of care, just to unpack that a little bit, what are your top three or four elements that you think there's been a failure? Or where you believe there's been a failure, sorry.
Well, fisheries got their preferred suppliers. Now, their preferred suppliers, I think by memory, is four suppliers for the VMSs. Now, I know there's several fishermen that had issues with wiring and everything else with these. Now, fisheries did not do their due diligence and back up the suppliers by saying these units are approved by EMSA or any other agencies that may have their finger in the pie, and left the suppliers out to dry. That's not due diligence on fisheries' part, or on the fishermen that are fitting these. The other issue that they have, and I own several fishing licenses, and in my opinion it's discrimination, where they went to the fishermen and said, unless you own a license, you can't claim the rebate. So that put pressure on the license owners to actually purchase the VMSs, or saying, well, I don't want to be responsible for the 40, or whatever it may be per month, $40 or whatever it may be. So they put undue pressure on not only the lessees as well as the owners. Now, if we don't have lessees, how do you get new fishermen into the industry? The new fishermen in the industry originally lease licenses, and it's progression. They progressed from a deckie to a skipper, lease a license, buy a boat. Or in the crab fishery, they lease a license and go fishing and then they buy a license. And I've had several fishermen that have done that. We're not looking after the future generations. And where is the confidence in the industry, the way the the government is performing.
So you say this in the context of them just adding more costs for you to go out and do what you do?
They are adding more cost. If you're a fisherman that wants to get into the industry, whether it be crab, net, line, you've got to meet certain standards with AMSA, level flotation. It's another cost to the industry, and it's fishermen that just can't bear it. Now, I've got a boat that's a grandfathered boat. What has changed? Absolutely nothing. I go to work, I've got the safety management plan. We've got all the safety gear that we need to have. And I've said to AMSA many times, my life must be worth a lot more than recreational because our standard is far higher. And they refuse to answer me on this. Now, if our lives are worth more because we've got all these standards to meet, because we're domestic commercial vessels, why is it that more recreational are in trouble than we are?
Oh, you mean that need to be rescued out at sea and so on?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So you're finding that in your experience out on the water that it's more recreational and pleasure boats that are getting into trouble than commercial.
Exactly. And if you look at the statistics, and I've challenged on several occasions on the statistics of this, we're far lower than the recreational sector. Recreational sector can keep going as far out to sea as they want. We might have in 3D or 3C, we're limited. When we get to that magic line, we can't go past that because we don't comply. It null and voids our insurance. Now, yet the recreational, with a non-compliant boat, with less safety gear than we have, can keep going. How do you think that makes us feel? Second-class citizens, in my opinion.
Okay, all right. So this next question I pose to both Lionel and Gary, use your crystal ball a bit. 5 years from now, where do you think our fishery is going to be?
Good question, Eric. In my personal opinion, I'd say this personal opinion, I don't have confidence in the industry anymore. I don't have confidence in our fisheries minister. I do not have confidence in our Deputy Director General or Chief Executive Officer and Fisheries, because they talk with a forked tongue. They do not have confidence in the fishing industry. It's all about them. They get paid whether they go to work or not. We don't get paid unless we go to work and catch seafood for the public. The public themselves are misinformed, where the commercial fishermen are catching for the elderly people. I'm getting a few years on me now, and I would like to be able to buy fresh prawns, crabs, fish from the local fish shop that was Queensland produced, not imported, inferior, and sometimes diseased. And yet, we have all our supermarkets importing prawns, tin crabs from overseas, and the prawns in particular are diseased and with white spot, which was introduced to our waterways, which devastated in Moreton Bay our fishery, whether it's crab or prawn, your yabbies, worm diggers. It devastated, and there was no compensation at all for the fishermen. And yet you had Scott Morrison just announced $5 million for radiation treatment for the prawn fishermen. What about the small blokes that were ready to commit suicide? The worm diggers, the Yabby people that made livings out of it and couldn't send it outside of there. What about those people? There was no care factor at all. You had the prawn farmers that got millions of dollars. The prawn farmers, in my opinion, did too little, too late. Now, we stood by the prawn farmers, but they knew white spot was around. They did nothing about their filtration systems to protect against it. So, in fact, they help enhance what happened because they didn't protect against it and they were fully aware of it.
Okay. Tony, thanks for your time today. We will come back to some of these issues in the near future because this reform process is far from being finished. Thanks for your time and we'll catch you on the next podcast.
Thanks, Eric.
Cheers, mate.